Well, a little more than a week has passed since the nation's second largest air carrier, Asiana Airlines, their flight 214 crash landed at San Francisco International Airport. The incident has killed three so far. Many of these passengers are still under treatment. However, last week, the National Transportation Safety Board in the U.S. wrapped up an on-scene investigation into the incident. However, there still remains a lot of data to review before finding out ultimately the cause of this crash of the Boeing 777. This is a jetliner with a strong safety record. For more expert analysis, we're very pleased to have joining us Dr. Todd Curtis. He's an aviation safety analyst and former safety engineer for Boeing. Hello. Dr. Curtis, I believe the phone connection is a little bit off. We're going to try to get you back online. Apologies for that. Often when you're connecting to someone overseas, especially sometimes these connections can be a little bit temperamental. So what we're going to do is try to go ahead and get that connection once again. But we are revisiting this issue because if you've been reading the Korean media, there's been a little bit of back and forth, a little bit of backlash as to how the Koreans, the government, as well as the people, feel that the investigation has been going over in the U.S. I think we have that connection once again. Hello?
Thanks again. Sounds like a better connection.
Yeah, it does indeed. Thank you very much. Let's talk about this incident from the idea of whether it was pilot error or mechanical failure. From what you have seen so far, and it looks like the indications are leading towards one way, which possibility do you think is more probable?
Well, it's very difficult to say because at the moment there's a lot of factual information out there, certainly, and certainly the NTSB has given a lot of feedback about what they've seen, but they've also said that there's a lot of stuff they have to yet review. And one of those things is exactly how does the autopilot and the other automation systems in the cockpit actually operate.
Mm-hmm.
It may turn out that it's neither pilot error or mechanical failure, but something that is not yet revealed. So I have to take a wait-and-see attitude as to what the cause may be.
Now, some people here in Korea, I guess there's been a bit of sensitivity, a bit of even resentment to the government, as well as the world's biggest pilot union, even the Airline Pilots Association International. They've been criticizing the NTSB, saying that perhaps they're putting too much information out there as far as the Asiana investigation goes. What would you say to that criticism, particularly these daily press conferences held by the NTSB chairman?
Well, I think the only difference between how the NTSB has treated this accident as opposed to some in the past is that the NTSB is using technology that actually gets the very same information to the public much, much more quickly. Years ago, there were no live broadcast on cable because cable news didn't have those sorts of things from the NTSB, and there was certainly no YouTube,
mm-hmm.
and there was no Twitter. So the NTSB is merely getting things much, much more quickly to a much wider population
right.
than they did in the past.
So it's not anything different that the NTSB is necessarily doing. It's just the technology has expanded by so much that you're just seeing the spread of the information, I guess, exponentially just go around a lot faster is your point.
Absolutely. Compared to what traditional organizations are used to seeing, there seems to be a tidal wave of information coming, as opposed to the more more sedate rate of information flow back 10 or 15 years ago.
The idea of pilot error being a cause of it, what's often been cited, Dr. Curtis, is the fact that the pilot in control of the landing had 43 hours experience of the 77 model, and particularly the tricky approach to San Francisco International. Is that something that we can really definitively say could be one of the factors yet, or is this too early to tell?
It's too early to tell, in part because in the industry, the way pilots are trained, by the time they are in the cockpit for a real airplane for the first time, they've gone through hundreds of hours of ground school, dozens of hours of training in a simulator, and some of these simulators, especially the full motion simulators, are very, very high fidelity. It is a very realistic experience to the point that many airlines in the world, often the first time a pilot will fly the actual airplane, will be with passengers in it.
Now, let's concede that the 777 is a very safe aircraft. I know in the notes that you provided for us, this is certainly the case. As far as the entry into San Francisco Airport, given that there were a lot of innovations incorporated to improve the overall safety of the 777, and what about this idea here that a lot of people have been raising about the fact that even if the pilots were coming in and there was something a little bit awry, there should have been some mechanical alarm that would have at least let them know that something was amiss?
Well, there are actually several alarms that did go off in the aircraft, especially when it comes to speed. There was a physical feedback in the control column when the speed started to drop too low. There was also a visual feedback in this airspeed indicator that showed that they were getting close to what's called a stall condition.
Mm-hmm.
And it was also, according to the NTSB, an audio alarm that was going off. So when it comes to speed, there were three internal alarms. Outside of the aircraft, on the runway itself, there is a visual feedback mechanism that tells them if they're too high or too low on the approach.
Okay.
And that visual feedback mechanism was telling them they were too low. So there were several ways that the crew was getting information about the condition of the aircraft.
I think for a lot of our listeners, we may be kind of dipping into the minutiae of all of this. But as far as the warning system about how some people say there should be some kind of a noise warning, Asiana's Boeing 777 apparently had stick shakers, but this warning came, again, we don't know the full details yet, but apparently 4 seconds before impact. Can you surmise anything from this?
I can only say that the stick shaker was very likely working as it was designed. That is, it's only looking at the airspeed of the aircraft and the condition of the aircraft. The stick shaker warning doesn't look on the outside as well to see how high the aircraft is. So that warning was working as designed. Now, the other warning I discussed earlier, the outside visual warning, that was actually giving feedback to the crew before the stick shaker activated.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
Again, there were several mechanisms, several pathways for information, and the crew was taking note of it. And, again, unfortunately, the outcome was a crash, but it will be a while before the NTSB looks at all that data,
right,
looks at the internal data within the black boxes to determine when the pilots knew information and when they should have started reacting. But that's entirely too early right now to say that they acted too late or acted too early or ignored information. I simply don't know because
right.
They're still investigating.
Most people who live in the U.S. will know about the miracle on the Hudson. Maybe not so many people here in Korea. But a lot of people who have been observing this have remarked that relatively low loss of life, although every death, of course, is a tragedy. As an aviation safety expert, could this have been a lot worse, or was this the expected outcome as far as casualties?
Well, actually, it was expected in part because of many, many innovations that have been incorporated into aircraft in the last 20 or 30 years. Specifically, one thing about the 777, there was a requirement starting in 1988 by the FAA that said any newly certified aircraft would have to have stronger passenger seats that are more resilient in a crash. Every 777 that was delivered had these stronger seats. And one of the things the NTSB is looking at for this accident is whether those seats performed as designed, and it'll also answer the question, were these stronger seats actually a key to the survival rate?
Now, we have perhaps a long ways to go here, Dr. Curtis, and I know that you don't want to be put into the middle of sort of a food fight, right, between the Korean media and the government and what's going on with the investigation in the U.S. I guess, can you prognosticate what you think is going to be happening, what we should look out for in the next few months as people want to really come down and find out the truth of the matter and what exactly caused this crash?
Well, one of the things that the NTSB has already hinted at is that they're looking at how automation in the aircraft is supposed to operate. They've already stated that the two of the automation modes, the autopilot and the autothrottle, had several different modes that were activated in the last 2.5 minutes of flight.
Mm-hmm.
Now, within aviation, especially for very sophisticated aircraft, an ongoing concern is, are there situations where the aircraft is in one mode of operation, but the flight crew thinks it's in another mode of operation, and they act according to what they think as opposed to what is actually happening? So I think one of the very key things, and they have to work with Boeing on this one, understanding exactly how this sophisticated combination of systems work,
right,
and whether or not crews were adequately informed as to what state the aircraft was in at the time.
Dr. Curtis, I want to thank you so much for your time. Hope we can have you on the program again soon.
Oh, I hope I can do it again. I enjoyed it very much.
Thank you. That was Dr. Curtis with our special interview on the Oceana incident. Let's get another quick check now of traffic and weather.